I'm Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to episode 15 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Thank you for clicking on. Did you find it on the landing page or on the regular page? Yes, I have a landing page as well as the normal WGNplus.com page. But anyway, I don't care how you found it. You're here, and that's good. And hopefully, I'm always interested as to how people listen to podcasts. Do you listen for the hour? Do you hit me on pause and come back later at 3 in the morning when you can't sleep? As long as you listen to the full hour. I mean, preferably, hey, I'm doing this for an hour at one time. So preferably, I would like you to listen to it in its entirety so you get the flow and the entire vibe and that I'm trying to create here. But I understand that in today's 24/7 world, there are no boundaries. And that is the lure of the podcast, to listen at your leisure. But hopefully you enjoy it in its entirety or in chunks. I'm not worried about that. As long as you listen every week, I appreciate it. And this week I'm very excited because we do a regular feature here on the podcast called Pop Culture Club. And up to this point, I have been doing it with a guy named Mick Kaler, who I've known for literally 30 years and who is a radio veteran himself. And Mick and I have always joked that we were twin sons of different mothers. We really track on a lot of different things. But Mick, unfortunately, is not able to record the podcast. He's got a different a new job, and it conflicts. And so, thankfully, because I myself consider myself a pop culture guru, I have surrounded myself in my life with other pop culture gurus or guresses. I don't know. Is that a word? Guress? Guru-ess? How about experts? That just covers everything. And so I'm very happy that we're going to be, and what we might actually do with this now is actually maybe use a bunch of different people, or kind of a rotating thing to keep the vibe going too. But as we continue now into a different era of the Pop Culture Club, Mick will certainly always have be the charter member, and he has the gold club card because he was the first one. But I thought we should open up our club, right? I mean, it can't be that exclusive. And so a woman named Emily Arminetti is going to join us, and I've known Emily for about 20 years. We worked together in a former life when I worked in public relations, and not only is she very media savvy, but it was very quick when I got to know her how much she really knew a lot about the whole pop culture and music and movies and television. And really reveled in it. And so we always talk about it anyway. And so when this happened, I said, well, there's really no question whether Emily can handle this or not. So I think you're going to like Emily. We're going to have some fun talking about. Actually, I remember when we worked together, and this was about 10, 15 years ago, she loved Johnny Depp. And so now 15 years later, Mr. Depp, I don't know if you've read the papers lately. You won't get into it too much. You won't spoil the fun. But Johnny Depp's been having a little problem lately. And so we will talk about that a little later on the Pop Culture Club. But what I wanted to start out with today was, you know, the Olympics now are officially over. And last episode I ranted about Ryan Lochte, so we won't continue with that. Although I find it interesting, not surprising, as I said, every Olympian, the goal of an Olympian after their medals is basically their career trajectory is two things: sponsorships, endorsements, and sports analysts on television. That's pretty much where you go if you're an Olympic athlete. And it's not a knock. It's a nice life because most of the time these people have been for the first 20-some years of their lives, been dedicating everything to sports, and it's certainly their passion, and it's certainly their expertise, and it doesn't help, it doesn't hurt in terms of sponsorships if you're a good-looking person, and we've seen many of those Olympic athletes who are good-looking go on to become, you know, sponsors for fashion things, and certainly, you know, Ryan Lochte is a good-looking guy. He would, you know, I think he was just dropped by Ralph Lauren, so... he certainly was going to go travel down that road. Now, whether he can repair the damage he's done to his reputation is just up for grabs. But that's the thing. And so coming out of those Olympics, not only did he win some medals and did a good job, but, you know, he certainly was poised to have a pretty good career moving forward, I would assume. And, boy, did he screw that up. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about, because what was swirling around the Olympics, aside from all of the sports, obviously, was, before the Olympics started, was the Zika thing. And a lot of athletes did not participate from many countries, including the United States, for fear of the Zika virus. And this is, obviously, we've heard about this now for several months. It's certainly it's something that you can get and get sick from. The after effects are not as death defying, you know, are not fatal as like Ebola was several years ago. But certainly, as we found out, I mean, the average person gets sick for a while, but it passes. But where the real problem comes in is for pregnant women. And you could have some major birth defects and have children with some major disabilities, potentially, if you are bitten by a mosquito. And so, you know, it's been kind of a joke, and the United States, you know, it was their problem. You know, we've always looked at these diseases that happen in other countries like it's their problem. And I think for a while there we thought that, that's happening in South America and we don't have to worry about it. Well, over the last couple of weeks, and certainly over the last week or so, we have seen that Florida now is being affected by the Zika virus. And a lot of people are getting sick. And you hear quotes from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and they're basically saying, well, just try not to get bit by a mosquito. I mean, there is no vaccine. Obviously, killing the mosquitoes is the best way to get rid of this. But as we all know, that's not easy. Which brings me, of course, to how do I figure into the Zika virus? It's always about me. I understand that. We can have a worldwide disease, and somehow I make it personal. But that's why you love me. So I was watching a show the other day where they had some leading doctors talking about this, how it's been found in Florida and what can we do and what are the chances of it spreading out of Florida and what's the chances of eradicating it and all these questions. And so they also showed a couple of women who were pregnant. And I've seen several news stories now. One woman was in Florida, and she's 7 or 8 months pregnant, and she's moving up to Illinois, to Chicago, I guess, where she has some family, to get out of the way, to get out of harm's way. And I saw another woman who said, and I don't know if this was on a YouTube channel of her own or if it was an interview. I just sort of clicked in the middle of the story. But this woman, I believe she was pregnant, and she said that her and her husband have decided that she is for the rest of, well, it had to be then, for the rest of her pregnancy, she is not going to leave the house except for doctor's appointments and emergencies, whatever that means. And she seemed fairly confident that this kind of semi-quarantine would keep her safe. And I guess on paper, you say, okay, obviously, the least amount of time you're outside, the better chance you have of not getting bit by a mosquito. And I thought that was a fairly good plan until literally the next morning. That's how crazy this was. Now, I hate the weather we've had this summer in Chicago. It has been very hot and very humid for consecutive weeks. And over the last couple of days here in Chicago, we got a slight respite. And for like 2 or 3 days, the temperatures were in the mid-70s, and the evenings were gorgeous. I mean, they were like in the low 50s, mid to low 50s. And so for the first time, I opened up the windows and said, let that breeze come in and hit me. So I don't know. So, you know, we have screens up on the windows. And I guess, you know, I would assume the hope is that the screens let the air in and keep the bugs out. Now, I'm hoping and assuming that, you know, my screens don't have any major holes in them. But let's face it, you know, you open the door and a mosquito can fly in, right? Unless your house is covered in one of those mosquito nets or you build a dome around your house. And so I see this story about the Zika coming to Florida, and I see this woman saying that she's pregnant and she's going to stay in the house except for when she goes to the doctor and for emergencies. My first question was, well, who's to say when you go out to the doctor you can't get bit? You could stay in the house for 5 months in a row, and if you go to the doctor one day from your door to your car, from your car to the doctor's office and vice versa coming home, it literally takes 2 seconds. I mean, and let's face it. You know, it's not like mosquitoes are not like bumblebees or wasps. You can't see the darn things. How many times you don't even know? It's not until you feel it and you do the slap that you even know you're being bit. Well, here's the thing. I had the windows open, letting the breeze in, and I don't know, once again, whether it was because of that. It seemed, using my Columbo-like instincts of investigation, it seemed like the one night I opened the window, I woke up the next morning, and my body was like a mosquito smorgasbord. I was like old country buffet. I woke up, and I had mosquito bites all over my legs and on my arms, and I felt like even like some parts on my face. And I was scratching like unbelievable to the point where I was actually, a few of them bled. I mean, that's how, as you know, you scratch them and they get bigger, which doesn't help the problem. But I'm sitting there, and I don't know. I mean, I've got type A positive blood. It must be the Pinot Noir or the Cabernet Sauvignon of bloods. That's all I could think because, my gosh, these mosquitoes I was like a tasting. They were trying different. Let's see. I think the arm is a little sweeter. The leg is a little drier. Would you like a full body or a dry? Well, let's bite them on the forehead. I had one on my forehead. Who gets a mosquito bite on their forehead? Unless you're sleeping, and then you're just there. It's just like, okay, go ahead, mosquitoes. So I'm sitting there scratching, and then I'm immediately thinking of this woman who is saying, well, I'm not leaving my house, so that's how I'm going to escape the Zika virus. And I'm sitting there going, hey, lady, I got news for you. I wish I hadn't stayed in my house because apparently my house was mosquito central. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking about this in a bigger scope here. I don't know what the whole gestation period of this is. Is it warm weather? Maybe we're going to be lucky here in Chicago. I mean, another 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to become, well, September depends. But in another month, it gets colder here, and maybe they can't live in the cold. But I'm thinking about next summer. Who knows? But we've got to get on this because, you know, if you remember, now I'm not young enough for a lot of things, but thankfully, I am too young to remember the polio world. That doesn't say much because it was like 70 years ago. But I just remember stories, and we've seen, you know, FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had polio, our president, and they even tried to cover that up. But, I mean, that was a huge, huge epidemic in this country. And then, of course, Jonas Salk came and creates this vaccine, and suddenly polio goes away. And I'm just wondering, I mean, how do you stop a mosquito? And the irony of this story, too, about me getting all eaten alive, and I mean, my gosh, thank God there are no vampires. Because if there were vampires, oh my gosh, they'd probably be at my house every night. If word got out about how great my blood is, it's clearly a connoisseur's blood. I have a great vintage. 1964 must have been a great year for blood. Because these mosquitoes were out of their minds. But I'm just hoping that we you know, those days are gone when it was their problem. You know, we've got to come up with a vaccine or something. As I was telling you, I just before this, like the day before or two, I got one of these robocalls on my phone from the village that I live in, from the town I live in, and they said, just so you're aware, tonight at 7:30, there will be a mosquito abatement. So they will be spraying for mosquitoes. So I got bit. I got savaged, if you will, by these mosquitoes 2 days after they were sprayed. Supposedly in my town, there was a mosquito holocaust. And yet, at least 75 mosquitoes found my house. So, I don't know how we can say that we are safe from that. And how do you say I'm going to keep myself unless you literally wear a bee costume or some kind of hazmat suit? How are you? And don't forget, if you've been outside in the summer, mosquitoes bite through your clothes. I mean, I've got a patio in my backyard, and you know, I buy that stuff that you spray that you supposedly, you know, you create this wall around you. I still get bit. I got this, I'm spraying I don't know what kind of pesticides all around me, so I'm either going to die of cancer or I'm going to get bit by a bunch of mosquitoes one way or the other. But as much as I build this pesticide wall around me, I hope Donald Trump isn't listening to this, because maybe he'll come up with that idea too. But I spray this wall of pesticides around me, the fogger, I think it's called fogger, and I still get bit. Once again, the vintage blood. But so how do you keep away from this? And then when you see, I mean, my gosh, you're hearing about the disabilities that babies can have. And you're even hearing these stories about women who earlier in their pregnancies had normal pregnancies. They had ultrasounds. They had all the tests. Everything was fine. And then they got bit. And it sounds like this stuff just gets into the system and causes havoc for pregnant women. So this is a very serious problem, and it's mosquitoes. And some people might be a little younger to remember this, but one of the biggest fears and one of the biggest kind of, I don't even know how you describe it, prejudicial, it was just a lack of knowledge. It was ignorance, but it was fear, and it was real. When the AIDS virus started to spread in the 80s, a lot of the fear factor of this new disease, when they were saying how it was transmitted through fluids, the first thing that people thought of was, well, what about mosquitoes? And there was a real legitimate fear about HIV and AIDS being spread in the early days of this disease, when not a lot of knowledge was known as to how it was spread. When we heard about bodily fluids, we thought about blood, and we thought about mosquitoes, and we thought about mosquitoes just flying and going from body to body and spreading this. Now, obviously, it didn't prove to be true, but that was a very early fear. And ironically, now 30 years later, we do have a disease that is being spread by mosquitoes. And I'll tell you, as I said, we are a global world right now. There's no their disease, our disease, don't worry about it. We saw that with Ebola. We saw how it was being contained, and all it was over there. Then suddenly it came to our shores. And the same thing here. Now, we've got Zika in Florida. And I just hope that we're not being a little too laissez-faire on this. I think, you know, as I said before, mosquitoes are really, you know, a difficult thing to combat because you really can't see them, at least with some other kind of insects. You know, you can at least say, oh, there's a bumblebee. Whoa, everybody runs around. Oh, it's a bee. It's a bee. It's a bee. Well, at least you see it. But, I mean, you're sitting there, and I'll tell you, like I said, these mosquitoes, they don't even care where they bite you. So they're stealth. How many times do you get you wake up with a mosquito bite and you go, how the heck did this, how did I get, where did this mosquito find that part of my body? So I just hope that we're going to be a little more vigilant. And maybe there is a vaccine that can be made for this, because how the heck do you combat a mosquito bite? I mean, like I said, this woman says, I'm not going to leave my house. Well, first of all, it was proven, as I said before, that you can get bit in your house. Just open the door. Mosquito flies in. You don't see it. But you've got to go from your house to your car. How do you stop that? Unless, as I said, you wear some kind of protective, clothing. So I am hoping that we are not taking this a little too, it's their disease. I mean, America has always looked at as the leader in medicine. And we have to, you know, now that it's on our shores, okay, it becomes more personal. But hey, this is something that we need to, we need to address. And I'm not getting that urgency. I'm hearing about it a little more, but once again, why didn't we worry about it? You know, in the United States here, when the Ebola was spreading through Africa, we were like, oh, this is a shame, this is a shame, this is a shame. And we certainly had volunteers that went over there, and that was one way that Ebola eventually came to the United States, was because of our goodwill of sending doctors there to help those people. And then they came back with it. But in terms of the medical aspect of it, the actual eradication of it, you know, there's no such thing as their disease anymore. There was a time when countries were very isolated. But let's face it, because of technology, because of economies, because of cultures and immigration, we are truly now a global society. And so what does happen over there does affect us over here. There's no more theirs, there and here's. There's no more us's and them's. It's all of us. And so these damn little mosquitoes somehow, you know, made the trip from Rio to Florida. You'd think that they would stay in Rio. As I said many times before, they've got the beaches. They've got the good weather. They've got the thongs. Why would you come here anyway? Stay there. But I don't know. They got here somehow. But we have to deal with these because, my gosh, when you think about the chances of being bit by a mosquito, I mean, come on, it's nothing that you can. I mean, unless you. Now, I've tried a lot of those. I don't know how good some of those repellents that you put on your skin, which also scares me. I mean, let's face it, our skin is porous. I don't know what we're spraying on myself. And you a lot of times think of the short term. I don't want to get bit. I don't want to scratch. So I'll spray this stuff on me. And my gosh, who knows what we've been spraying on ourselves for the last 20 or 30 years. But hopefully America can rally around and figure out a way to eradicate the Zika thing. Because not only is it it's a very serious disease that, I mean, let's face it, you know. We have certainly become a culture that has embraced, disabled people. We've tried to make the world easier for them. Obviously, there are a lot of people who are anti-abortion, who say they will have a child regardless of whether it has some kind of disability, whether it's Down syndrome. Other people, I don't want to get into the political side of it, but we certainly have become a much more understanding society in terms of disabilities and accepting of those. And we have tried to make those people with those disabilities make their lives as easy as possible. And if you've talked to a lot of parents who have a disabled child, they will tell you that while it certainly is difficult, and there's no doubt about that, and it certainly can be taxing both emotionally as well as financially to take care of a disabled child, they will also say that in terms of the love they have and the parental experience they have for that child is heightened. But there's nothing wrong. I don't think any parent should feel guilty about not wanting to have a disease or a disabled child. I mean, the first question you ask, was the baby, healthy, you know? And so I feel for parents because I don't blame people for being, you know, some of these athletes did not want to go to Rio because of that, the possibility. And now we've got it here in the United States. I mean, the goal is obviously to have a happy, healthy child. And so we need to make that a reality as much as we can. And this Zika thing is something that goes far beyond now. Just, it's amazing when you think about the human body and how we are born and all this, the crazy systems that make up our bodies, how the majority of people born do not have disabilities is amazing. When you think about the littlest things that happen in the development can change a person. And it's amazing how so many times it works out just right. And there are obviously times when it doesn't. But a lot of times that depends on the father and the mother and whatever types of, you know, the diseases or whatever they may have in their own DNAs. But here's something that's out there. You know, this Zika thing is out there. It's not internal. It's not that, you have this recessive gene or something like that in the family. This is something external. And we have proven that we can do this. We did it with polio. So we have to find a way to really either kill these mosquitoes or we have to find some kind of a vaccine or something that when you are bit, my goodness, get over there and get yourself tested and get this shot. Because my gosh, I don't need no Zika. Who are you going to call? Zika busters. But I'm just saying, my gosh, I got so bit up in one night. I would love to see if it was just one mosquito who just went to town on me, or if it was a bunch of them. Because, my gosh, I had so many mosquito bites, I just woke up scratching. Now, if it was one mosquito, he had to have burst with so much blood. Because, I mean, I looked around, there were bumps everywhere. And as I said, the worst thing is not only when you scratch them, but then because then they get bigger. And then you scratch them so much and they bleed. And ugh. I've been lucky in that it's been so hot outside this summer here in Chicago that I have not even gone out that much. So I haven't really gotten a lot of mosquito bites. But now, I guess Mother Nature says, well, if you haven't gone outside, we will bring the mosquito bites to you. And that's what they did. But I don't know how you keep yourself safe from a mosquito bite. I've tried Fogger. I've tried Off. I've tried all that stuff. And all I did was go to sleep. And as I said, I woke up like a... Boy, it was like a mosquito buffet on the menu. We have a special tonight, Mr. Mosquito. It's Jim Toronto. Would you like the leg? Would you like the arm? Would you try, you know, this is something new. I know it sounds weird, but would you like to try the forehead? Yeah, give me the forehead. My God, I got bit like above my eyebrow. I'm like, what the heck? Now, why doesn't he bite your eyelid? Oh, God, could you imagine? Could you get, if there's blood there, I guess they can bite you on the eyelid. Anyway, let's get rid of these mosquitoes. Because I heard stories, too, that mosquitoes do provide something in our ecosystem. So we don't want to get rid of them. but let's get rid of those pesky Zika ones. And welcome back to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. And I'm very happy to announce that we are expanding the membership of that all that would used to be a very exclusive club called the Pop Culture Club here on the podcast. And for a while, it was just me and a guy named Mick Kaler, who was he had the golden ticket. He had the golden card. He was the first member. But, you know, after a while, you say, you know, what fun is a club if you don't have at least a couple members? And so I decided to open up the membership. But if, once again, this is not just like anybody could join. You've got to earn your stripes if you want to be a member of the Pop Culture Club here, because we're talking serious pop culture stuff here. So, you know, once again, there is a screening process. But when I was deciding to open up membership, one of the first persons I thought of was a friend of mine and I was doing the math, and it's almost 20 years now, which is really scary to think about, because when I first met her, she was just a bright-eyed, you know, young gal with the whole, she was like Mary Tyler Moore. She had the whole world in front of her. And now, she's like the rest of us. Time has pushed on. Emily, how old are you now?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me this. Okay.
First of all, this is
no,
my
first. You know, when I met you, I was 26.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, well, now, so it's not...
I was wide-eyed.
Bushy-tailed.
I was throwing my hat up in the air.
Right, you were Mary Tyler Moore. You were.
I was.
Love was all around. No need to take it. You could have the town. Why don't you take it?
Exactly. I'm going to make it
after. You are going to. Well, you did make it after all.
But, you know, Dad, you said that was a long time ago. Okay.
Yeah.
So now I think what we should say is that I am over 26.
Okay, very good. And so I didn't mean to put you in an age thing, but it just hit me the other day when we were going back and forth about you doing this. I was like, my gosh, I've known Emily for almost 20 years now. I think probably about 98?
No, 2000.
Oh, was it 2000?
I think no. I met you in 99. It was late.
Okay, so we're not at 20 yet.
We're not at 20, but I mean, to be quite honest with you, the way the time is going by, that's going to be a little tomorrow.
Yeah, no kidding. 20 years. Well, as I said, so this is Emily Arminetti, and she is actually calling us. Not only is she a hipster and a pop culture guru-esque, I don't know if that's a word, but if it isn't, I'm coining it for you.
Scholar, but I mean, is that
a
word?
Okay. Wow. So you're going academic on me. Okay. So she's a pop.
Is that too, like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
We'll see. But anyway, when I first met Emily, we worked together at a public relations firm, and very quickly I discovered that she, like me, was really into pop culture and movies and television and music. And not only was she into it, but two important things which set her apart. She had the knowledge, and she also had some very solid opinions, which made me immediately interested to say, okay, this is someone that I could talk pop culture with. So when I looked to expand the membership of the Pop Culture Club, Emily, you were one of the first people I thought of.
I feel very honored. I hope I'm not, like, painting the exclusivity of the club.
No, in fact, to be honest with you, we did get some government problems that it was an all male club. So
I see now I know why.
So so right now you're the token chick right now. No, I'm just joking, but you are certainly more than More than qualified. And as I said, not only does she know a ton about pop culture and has her opinions, and as you will hear soon, but you have lived in probably every hipster town in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, probably. She started in Chicago, which I don't know how hipster Chicago is. But then you lived in London, which is high-flying, jet-setting London.
Yep.
Then you came back to the United States, and then you lived in hipster Brooklyn.
Yes.
And then after hipster Brooklyn, now you move to hipster Austin, Texas.
Well, right, yeah. So, I mean, I think it's fair to say that once you're in Brooklyn, the only way to up the ante on hipster is probably to move to Austin.
You are basically... I mean, if you want like a barometer of where the cool places are, just find out where Emily might move to next.
Or it could be that I'm the one who's actually burning out places.
Yeah, right.
Find someplace new. So it could be that.
Well, like I said, so now you've been in Austin for, was it been a couple years now?
1 year, actually.
Oh, it's only just been a year? Yeah, and how do you like it there?
Well, I love it, and I think that, I mean, it's a great city.
But it is the South, right? I mean, you are in the South.
Yeah, but you don't feel, we are in the South, but, and it's Texas. But you kind of also, it's true what people say, Austin does feel like a bit of an oasis in Texas.
Right.
But I think that, you know, it's a great city. There's definitely a lot here,
No, I remember I went there on business a couple, like early in before it, when it was beginning its hipsterish, it was just beginning, like in around that time, around 99, 2000, where, you know, a lot of the tech companies were going to Austin. And so that was drawing a lot of younger people there. And then all of a sudden, like the down, now there's there, what's that one street where all the restaurants, at least at the time, there was like the one, 3rd Street or 4th Street or something like that?
Yeah, no, 6, Dirty 6.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's like,
That's old.
That's a big place, but that's for people who are so much younger than we are now that it's now, that's like where the frat.
Oh, okay. So that is still around then, right?
It's still around.
I knew I was in Texas when I landed at the airport in Austin, and I'm walking through the airport, and I look in the souvenir shop, and there's a poster of Willie Nelson.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, I know where I'm at. I'm definitely in Texas. I don't mind Texas. I've been to Texas. I've been to a lot of cities in Texas. I've been to Dallas. I've been to Houston. I was just in Houston a couple of years ago, and it was fun. And I haven't been to Austin since that business trip, so I really didn't get a chance to really experience it. So I probably do need to head down there.
Yes, definitely. I think you should. Yeah. I think if you talk to anybody around here, they will tell you that Austin has changed so much, even in like recent years. So if you haven't been here for a while, I think it's time.
Yeah, I should come down.
Your pilgrimage.
So now do you find yourself, I haven't spoken to you. We communicate quite a bit on and off with, via the internet, but I haven't spoken to you in many, many years. I don't hear any drawl. So you're not getting the drawl yet.
The last time I saw you, I think I had just moved to New York.
Right. Yeah. That was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And we had dinner in Chicago, but no, there's no drawl.
No, well, not yet.
London. I was at, not yet. Even when I was in London, I never could. I was born and raised in Chicago, and I cannot lose the Chicago accent. No matter where I go, no matter how long I'm away, it just doesn't work.
Do people immediately spot you as being from Chicago from your voice?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They say, like, oh, where are you from originally? And I say Chicago, and then they say, oh, yeah, I could tell.
So you, even in London, because you were in London for what, 2 or 3 years, if not more?
Oh, no, I was there for six, almost 7 years.
Wow.
I was there for a long time, yeah.
So you didn't pick up anything?
Well, no accent.
No, but I mean, you probably
this
picked up
a Madonna situation.
You okay? picked up some phrases, maybe, but
yeah, I mean, it's hard not to pick up some of the vernacular, I would say, because like there are just certain things that you say if you're an American right. over there that the Brits know what you're talking about, but they will act like they don't.
Right.
And I love my British friends, but you know, like if you ask where the elevator is,
right, it's the lift.
They will look
yeah.
at you like they have no idea what you're asking
yeah.
for. So, it's a survival thing. You know, you have to start to pick up something.
Okay.
So
well,
it's definitely
like,
not. It's not a Madonna situation
right.
where I've, you know.
Now, where did you live? Where did you live? What part of town did you live in London?
Well, when I was in London, I first lived in a part of town called Bayswater, just for a year.
Uh-huh.
And then I lived in Chelsea.
Oh, wow. See, once again, hipster.
Yeah. Well, then I moved to Notting Hill.
Oh, Notting Hill. It's got a movie named after it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ironically, you met your husband, who's from the United States, in London.
I did.
Isn't that crazy? So that's almost like a movie. You were like the Notting Hill part two.
Well, it was maybe like Notting Hill combined with, what was that other one that Julia Roberts did with?
All of her movies are the same.
Did she do another one? I know. Now I'm feeling like there were two movies, but no, there was just one, Notting Hill.
Was it Eat, Pray, and Love?
No.
Runaway Bride?
Yeah. No, not that one. No, I think you're right. Her movies are so similar.
Yeah, they're all the same. And they all have, and if they don't have Hugh, what's Grant. It? Hugh Grant in them, then yeah. they all seem like they do.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I was just a girl standing in front of a boy, asking him to love me.
See, there you go. That's why you are going to be a member of the Pop Culture Club, right there.
Does this make me a charter member?
Well, I think you are. Yeah. Well, as I said, I think the government wants me to make you a charter member because we need a woman. We need a woman. So you're getting some kind of pass on that. But no, you certainly. Your knowledge and your enthusiasm for pop culture. In fact, let me now officially christen you as a member by this very, as we now know, our beloved theme song of the Pop Culture Club. See, now when that music plays and I talk to you about pop culture, that puts you in. Congratulations. You have been baptized.
Yeah.
Now, do you understand? Part of becoming a member is understanding the layers that our and see, look, I'm even using our club. The layers of meaning that the name of our club is. Do you understand?
Now,
do you understand why I'm playing? Why am I playing Karma Chameleon?
Well, we're here to talk about pop culture.
Yeah.
And Karma Chameleon was, of course, a huge hit by the group Culture Club.
Ah, look at you. Right out of the box.
I get the layers.
Right out of the box. Very. That's why you are a charter member. Yes, I will send you a gold. You'll be like Willy Wonka. And you love Willy Wonka.
I know, I do.
Yeah, so I will send you a gold ticket for your membership card. But right out of the box, I was talking to Emily and I said, you know, I'd love to do this with you. And so let's come up with a couple of topics. And I must say, so this is, we met each other, like, say, 15 years ago. So 15 years ago, Johnny Depp was the heartthrob of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And you loved Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the way back to the 21 Jump Street.
Oh, so you went that far back?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I just remember. So I'm thinking, okay, so now here, I say to Emily, so if you have any ideas for some pop culture topics that are in the news, throw them past me and we'll see what might be fun to talk about. The first one It was 1999 all over again. The first thing Emily wants to talk about is Johnny Depp.
But now
explain the latest in the what I'm going to call the Johnny Depp saga of the last several years.
It's a saga, yeah. Well, I don't even know if we can say of the last several years, because to be fair, when you mentioned it to me, I mean, it's very topical right now, right? Because, you know, he's been going through this nasty divorce, which also kind of came about kind of suddenly, I thought.
Well, I mean, it was certainly kept under wraps if they were having problems, but the biggest story... Now, I don't know how true this is or not, but the latest story I heard from his wife, or ex-wife, because they officially divorced, and Amber certainly, Amber, what was her last name?
Amber Heard.
Amber Heard. And they met on, what movie did they meet on? They made some movie together.
I think it was The Rum Diaries.
Right, exactly. See, look at you.
I think it was.
Look at you. Boom, boom, boom. I'm pretending like I don't know those answers. But I'm throwing that out there just to test you.
This is a test.
Yeah, okay. Just to make sure, because there's about seven other women who would like to join the club. So, you know, you're still in, but it's still kind of a double secret probation.
Okay.
I'm just joking. So anyway, they met on a thing. They met and it was very, you know, headline making because, you know, now was he married to the mother of his children or no?
I mean, they weren't married.
They were never married. Okay.
A very, very long time partner.
Yeah, and they had two daughters, right?
No.
No?
They had a boy and a girl.
Oh, they did have a boy. Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. They have a son and a daughter.
Okay. So, anyway.
They're probably teenagers now.
I've seen his daughter has been modeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That.
So anyway, you know, all of a sudden we, like you said, which is exactly correct, all of a sudden out of nowhere comes this divorce or this, you know, these allegations that she made public about his abuse and how they were divorcing. And now most recently, did you hear the story about his finger?
Okay, so this is where I started to lose the thread of this, because it's like, there's this, like, shock separation, right, that kind of spirals very quickly into a nasty divorce. You have the allegations of abuse, which are very serious, you know. You have denials. But then, all of a sudden, one day, there's, like, this story that comes out, and it's, like, this something about Billy Bob Thornton mixed in with the severed finger.
Yeah, apparently he cut his finger, and now she's claiming in some kind of drug-induced or alcohol-induced rage. She made a movie or she did something, some kind of project with Billy Bob Thornton recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he cut his finger, and with the blood, I mean, and cut it off. Cut the tip off, not just like, a little diabetic test.
Right.
You know, he cut the tip of his finger off.
I mean, the word severed was definitely used.
Exactly.
In the many articles, actually.
And he wrote on the walls in their villa or something about Billy Bob and what was it? Was it Easy Amber?
Easy Amber.
Yeah.
But then I see, so like all the, you know, this news for a few weeks is kind of like building up. And then all of a sudden this article comes out and it's like, Amber Heard denies affair with Billy Bob Thornton and severed Johnny Depp's severed finger. And I'm like, well, whoever, it was so out of the blue. It was like, did anybody ever say anything about Billy Bob Thornton? It was just like, as my friend Shannon called it, it was like the best story of denials ever. It just came out of the blue, you know?
Well, and what was so funny about it was that apparently then they did say that that there was a while where he was walking around with a, with some kind of bandage around his finger, and the explanation was that he had been out on a bender with some friends.
Yeah.
So apparently,
but then I read. Oh, you go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, because you're the one.
You may be going in the same direction I'm going in, but on that note, he apparently waited so long to get medical attention that they couldn't even reattach the finger set.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Apparently. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's all in the gossip pages, but yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You like Johnny Depp for a few more reasons than me, obviously. I mean, I'm sure you thought he was a good actor, but you also were very attracted to him, and you always made jokes about...
Oh, he was my heartthrob.
Yeah.
You know, when I was, like, from the time that I was, like, you know...
Yeah.
12, 13, like a tween.
Yeah. So, but I've always respected Johnny Depp. I never watched him on 21 Jump Street, but I always respected him as an actor and always felt... that he made some really, you know, kind of bold and adventurous movie choices. He almost was trying not to be a heartthrob and playing against his looks.
Yes.
You know, to make sure that his acting could be taken seriously. So, I mean, one of my favorite movies of all time, not just of Johnny Depp's. I love What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Just a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
And he's great in that, even though it's Leonardo DiCaprio really plays an amazing role in that, too. But it's a great movie. He sort of grounds the film. But then, obviously, there's Edward Scissorhands, and there's Ed Wood, and there's just a lot of these kind of quirky...
All of his collaborations with Tim Burton.
Yeah. And so I always thought that even though, yes, there was, Sean Penn and Nicolas Cage, although he's sort of gone off the rails too. But I always thought that Johnny Depp really was probably the actor of his generation. As a pure actor.
I think a lot of people have thought that over the years. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then, he hung out with Marlon Brando and sort of got his quirkiness. And he was buddies with Hunter S. Thompson and did, the movie about him.
Keith Richards.
Yeah. I mean, now he's, you sort of had a feeling that something was going off the rails with Johnny recently. I did notice he looked a little puffier than usual, which could have meant he was drinking. And then he forms this band with Alice Cooper and Joe Perry from Aerosmith called the Hollywood Vampires.
Yeah.
Which is based on this group from the 70s that were basically hung out at the Roxy, all these rock stars who would hang out upstairs who were all alcoholics.
Yeah,
this is
where it starts to go off the rails.
Yeah,
for sure.
But I have to say, now you being such a devotee and a fan of Johnny Depp, you've got to admit that the last several years, some of his movies have just been horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, but having said that, like you said, he made some really good choices, right? His career trajectory, it was not what you necessarily would have thought it would be for, like, a big heartthrob, someone who came on the scene as a heartthrob and was initially known for his looks, right?
Right.
And he makes some great choices, he makes some interesting choices, and he builds a lot of, street cred, and he gets a lot of sort of, credibility in the industry. Then he has a couple of blockbusters, right? So the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
Which, somehow he managed to kind of balance that, maintaining his street cred while being
don't forget that was a popcorn, kind of movie, and yet he got nominated for an Academy Award.
Uh-huh.
For the first one.
Yeah. And so, he was doing kind of well. I mean, I think those movies probably, helped, bolster his career in the last couple of years, or maybe, I don't know, maybe kind of some of the more questionable choices weren't as obvious, because he's still having a lot of, box office success.
Well, I'm just looking at, let's look at, The Rum Diaries was not, that was a kind of a, a smaller movie. Let's look at The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, that was...
Let's look at Mordecai.
Well, Mordecai, I don't even have, I mean, Johnny Depp and Gwyneth Paltrow both. I'm like,
I know.
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that with when he made Pirates of the Caribbean, he elevated himself into a pop culture icon as opposed to just being an actor. Because, I mean, now, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, it's on, you know, McDonald's Happy Meals. It's a ride at Disneyland. I mean, they've literally...
He probably hates that, but there's nothing he can really do about it.
Well, I think he hates it, but it's also afforded him an amazing lifestyle. And it did allow him, I mean, don't forget, Lone Ranger, as misguided of a movie as it was, that was his pet project. And there's no way that if not for, because don't forget, it was made by Disney, who also made Pirates of the Caribbean. There's no way that Johnny Depp gets to make his pet project like Lone Ranger without having the success of Pirates of the Caribbean and also promising to make another 3, 4, or 5.
Right, exactly.
And let's not forget.
But then,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, though, because now I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, well, he had a little bit of a bounce with Black Mass, though. Have you seen that?
Now that was interesting, though. So he makes. His most recent movie was about Whitey Bulger, who was this gangster who was finally captured as an old man, and he got great reviews for that, and everybody said, okay, finally, after the Lone Rangers and the Mordecais, and let's not forget Dark Shadows, whatever that was.
That completely went off my radar.
Yeah, I know. And I, what made me so mad is I love the original show. I was a very little kid when that was on. I've just major some little memories of it. My mom loved it. And so I was always in my kind of, you know, my head about Dark Shadows and Barnabas Collins. And so when I heard that Tim Burton and Johnny Depp were going to do Dark Shadows, I'm like, oh my God, this will be great. And I don't even know what they were smoking or what they were taking, but that whole movie was just ridiculous. But anyway, to your point, so he makes this movie, Black Mass, and everybody says, okay, it's the return of Johnny Depp. And I'll tell you, I think either, you know, those other movies, those really bad choice movies, have affected how Hollywood even views him, because he did play a very, you would think that was an Academy Award at least nominating performance, and he was not nominated.
Yeah.
And that was a surprise. Because even, to your point, once again, he had a bald head. He was not playing, he was playing against type.
Very unglamorous.
Yeah, very unglamorous. And let's not forget, we talk about, I just, now that we're talking about it, what just popped in my head, my gosh, remember Donnie Brasco?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, what a great movie.
That was a great movie.
With Al Pacino. I mean, those two played amazing. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That was a long time ago, though, now.
Yeah, fudge again about it. You know, but I'm thinking, my God, think about Donnie Brasco. That was Johnny Depp, too. So I am rooting for Johnny, but I'll tell you, when I'm hearing about this craziness, and here's the best part. So, I mean, clearly he's got some career problems. And now he's had some personal problems. So, you know, hey, America and movies and Hollywood, they all love the underdog. So, I mean, I think he is making another Pirates of the Caribbean. We'll see how that works. And to be honest with you, apparently it sounds like they settled this divorce very quickly.
Well, yeah. I mean, so this was all kind of going on, and every day there was something new in the news, which – you would think would have culminated in the severed finger story. We'll call it the severed finger stroke Billy Bob Thornton angle. Okay, that seems like a natural, you know, climax, right? But then it was like right after that, there's this fuss about the deposition. You know, they're supposed to be deposed in their divorce suit, I guess. She shows up, spends 10 hours in her room. According to the media, his people are saying she carried on and refused to be deposed. Her people are saying she was never called to be deposed. And then it's told he said, she said thing, right? And then, like, the next day, it was almost like some attorney somewhere was like, it's time to play the trump card.
Right.
You have this video that comes out. Have you seen the video?
No, no. What's this?
It's this video that came out where they're, it seems like they're at home, and she's recording him on her cell phone, and he's sort of stomping around the kitchen, slamming cabinets and throwing wine bottles. And then the next thing you know, I mean, basically, I guess I could describe, like, he basically, this culminates in him saying, oh, you want to see crazy?
Yeah.
You know, which is never, and the second that that came out of his mouth, I thought to myself, this divorce settlement is going to be like, this is going to be a closed case as soon as this, like, you know, gets
well,
digested.
And not only, yeah.
Sure enough, the next day.
Yeah.
They magically and suddenly, reach a settlement.
Well, I guarantee you that that his management or Disney, because they are in the process of either filming or pre-production of another Pirates of the Caribbean, and they're saying, "Hey, look, you,
Shut it down.
This is a $1 billion franchise here." And, I don't know if the last time you've ever been to either one of, Disneyland or Disney World, but Johnny Depp's character, Jack Sparrow, is in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I haven't been there, but
yeah. But he's part of that. He's part of that whole thing. So I think Disney said, look, you know what? You're taking a lot of hits here. The sequel to Alice in Wonderland, which starred him, completely bombed this summer. So
yeah.
He's got some box office, some career, and some personal things that he needs to clean up. But here's the best part, and this is why I love Emily. So we're talking about Johnny Depp, and I said, well, this will be fun to talk about. And I said to her, well, how do you want, because you have been married now for several years. And I said, well, how do you want to be introduced? You want to be married by your maiden name? I don't know if you were hyphenated. I didn't know if you changed your name to your husband's name. And so you said, no, I didn't rebrand, which I loved that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, so how do you want to be known? Do you want to be known as this? And I put Emily Depp.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote back and you said, I never thought of that, but now that he's single. So here's the best part. Now you have just seen and heard how crazy this guy is. And I say, I met him. I did an interview with him when he did the Hunter Thompson movie.
I was thinking about that. Actually, I was just earlier when you were talking about him and following his career, I thought to myself, wait, didn't you interview him?
Yeah. So I did a roundtable interview with him. There's about four or five other people with me, but I was sitting right next to him for an hour. And he wasn't, Jack Sparrow yet. And he was very well respected, but he wasn't, the big box office guy yet. And that movie, and those movies, he made money, but they weren't like huge, huge blockbusters. And so he was still kind of, he was like the cool rogue. And he was very, I sat next to him. He had these yellow fingers because he was rolling his own cigarettes as we were talking. It looked like he hadn't showered in 2 weeks. His hair was greasy. He was dressed like Keith Richards, with all the layers and the shagginess. Amidst all that, he was really cool. I really liked him.
Of course. Yeah.
And he was scruffy. He hadn't shaved. It looked like he did not give a damn about anything. And yet that was kind of his mystique at the time. But so now we see that while he's taken that maybe to another level, and his career and his life has certainly changed over those last 20 years since I sat next to him. And you have been a fan and an admirer, and he was your crush since you were a teenager. But now you've seen what he's grown into. He cuts his finger. He's an alcoholic. He's potentially an abuser. Who knows what's going on? And I still have a feeling that you'd go for him. Right?
Well, okay. I did have a moment over the past few weeks during all of this kind of media storm over the whole...
Did you feel sorry for him? Did you want to mother him?
Oh, no. I had a moment where I thought to myself, oh, man, back in, let's say, junior high when I was convinced that I had to marry Johnny Depp, right. Definitely did not think my life would look like this. You know,
right.
Especially when I saw the video of the
right.
spending the cabinets in the kitchen.
Right.
I was like, ooh.
Maybe it's better that I didn't marry him.
Yeah. Well, but look, I really think this is a guy who's going through some stuff. Obviously, he's going through some stuff.
Right.
But I hope, and I think you probably agree, I hope he turns it around.
I do. I like I said, I really respect him for his talent, and I do like
yeah.
him. But I just love the fact that some, and I'm not trying to lump it, but you know, that even though this guy can prove to be the worst guy, there's some women that go, yeah, but. I even in an email, I said to you, you're kind of like Elaine from Seinfeld. There's a great episode where she's dating this really good looking guy, and she doesn't know if he's pro-choice on abortion yeah. or not. And so Jerry says, well, why? What if he was against abortion? And she said, well, I have to break up with him. He goes, well, have you asked him yet? And she says, well, he has to be pro-choice. And Jerry says, why? And she says, because he's just so good looking. And so I think that despite all the craziness of yeah. Johnny Depp's life, there are still women that go, yeah, but he's Johnny Depp, and he's so good looking.
Well, actually, I mean, well, look, let's face it. I've totally blown my chance now.
Yeah, when he hears this podcast.
He has this divorce saga with you.
Yeah, when he hears this podcast. I understand. Yeah,
you never know. He could be listening.
Oh, yeah, no, I've heard that we have some way to gauge, and we do know that Johnny Depp does click on. Yeah. He's a big Elton yeah. Jim's Captain Podtastic fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I told my we'll just let that.
Well, suffice it to say, we should say that Emily is happily married. She has two children. But I still think that if that phone call came, you'd be out of Austin so fast.
Maybe knowing that he was kind of my heartthrob as a, you know, a teenager and maybe my husband would just give me a pass.
Oh, there you go.
Doesn't it?
Oh, do you have the pass thing going?
The laminated card?
Well, yeah. Do you have that in your relationship? Like, okay, you know, you have.
No. But, you know, then again, I, you know, it's like I've pulled my chance already. We don't need to talk about that.
Okay, I know. It's just so funny how, when I heard about all this craziness, I'm like, I still think there are women that would go, yeah, but he's Johnny Depp.
There might be. Now, listen, I did wonder, though, because the same day that they announced that the divorce settlement had been reached, magically and suddenly, I get my New York Magazine in the mail, and there's Winona Ryder.
No.
On the cover.
Right.
And the headline, because you remember that, you know, Johnny Depp and Winona Ryder back in the 90s.
Yeah, he had his tattoo, Winona Forever.
Yeah, well, the headline on the cover of New York Magazine was Winona Forever and Ever.
Oh.
Which I'm like, oh,
no.
You know, because of course he had the tattoo, which he infamously changed, you know, Winona Forever, he infamously changed to Wino Forever.
Right, exactly.
And they broke up, right? So, and now, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, that's, yeah, way to kick a guy while he's down.
Well, I have to tell you that I had a ball here in our first meeting of the Pop Culture Club with Emily Arminetti in the club, and you have more than proven to be a worthy member. So welcome to the club, and
thank you.
And hopefully we can we'll do this again. And you will, as I said, you've been baptized. You're a member now.
I can't tell you what an honor it is. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Emily. Stay cool and stay hip in Austin, and we will talk to you soon.
I will do it.
Okay.
I'll be keeping it weird here in Austin.
Okay, y'all.
All right, we'll talk to y'all soon.
There you go. Now you sound like you're from Austin.
That's right.
Take care.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. That's Emily Arminetti, and that was a episode segment of Pop Culture Club here. I am Elton Jim Toronto, and once again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Every Monday, it is a new episode here on WGNplus.com, so please visit often and early. We try to get that up first thing in the morning, so you wake up, you get your nice cup of Joe and your nice ear full of Jim. Cup of Joe, ear of Jim. Not bad, huh? I am Elton Jim Toronto here. You have been listening to Captain Podtastic, and don't forget, every week we are from the end of the web to your screen.